Welcome, everyone. This is Michael Zapersky from FreshGigs.ca, and today we have someone special on the line. I have with us none other than Kevin O'Leary. Kevin is well known as a star on the TV shows Dragon's Den in Canada and Shark Tank in the US. He's launched his own line of wines called O'Leary Fine Wines and is a founder at O'Leary Funds, an investment fund. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you very much.
I want to start by asking about branding. You're a master of personal branding, which is evident from your success on TV and your other ventures. What would you suggest to someone that wants to build their own personal brand? What attributes are important? What actions would you say are necessary? And can you share with us some specific steps that you took, you know, looking back, that were key to your success in building your own brand?
I think the key to brand building for an individual is honesty. If people connect with you either through print, radio, television, the internet, whatever vehicle or platform you're using, it has to be based on an honest communication, a two-way dialogue. And sometimes that's difficult because sometimes, particularly in my case, the truth is sometimes quite brutal because we're dealing with money, which is very binary, black and white. Either you make money or you lose it. So sometimes it's very harsh to say to somebody, this is a bad idea, you're losing your money, and I wouldn't invest in you. But that's the truth. And I think over time, at least in my case, being honest has benefited me, allowing me to build a brand around financial services and goods. I mean, that's what I do. I mean, wine is a hobby of mine, obviously, but my main businesses are O'Leary Funds. We have over $1 billion under management, and O'Leary Mortgages, which I'm launching this year. I'm very proud of that. But it's based on the appeal that you can trust me, even though my message may be harsh. And you know, that is the truth as far as I'm concerned, and I think it's important.
What would you say to, because I you know, my sense is that there's a lot of people out there that have something on their minds, they want to share an opinion, you know, maybe they believe differently than what the status quo is or what's, you know, what other people are saying, but they find it, you know, a real challenge to express that opinion because they don't want to go against people's feelings or, you know, rub up against the status quo. What would you say to those people?
Well, that's a mistake. I mean, you know, if you're always worried about what other people think of you, you won't establish a brand, you won't move forward, and you won't break through. You can't do that. You have to be honest to yourself above all and speak your message the way you feel makes sense to you. It may not connect with everybody, but you know, the minute you're trying to appease everybody, you won't be appeasing anybody. And the key about telling the truth is, if you always speak the truth, you never have to remember what you said, and it'll always be the truth today, tomorrow, and 100 years from now. So at the end of the day, that's what I found has been the constant stream. The other challenge in brand building, and you know, if people want to communicate, is finding the platform that fits them. I've seen tremendous successes on the internet. Great successes on radio, in print, television. It's difficult to be good at all things, so you've got to find out the one that fits your personality and work with that. And I think that there's a lot of trial and error to it. I mean, I've been doing this now for 11 years, and I found out what works for me and what doesn't.
Right. Great points. So, Kevin, you're on both Dragon's Den in Canada and Shark Tank in the U.S. You've done business in both countries. What are the real differences between working and doing business in Canada versus the U.S.?
We only have three major sectors in Canada. We have materials, we have financial services, we have energy. So when you look at goods and services in the Canadian market, they tend to be focused around supporting those three sectors. There's 10 sectors in the U.S., so you've got seven more areas. Medical supplies, pharmaceuticals, for example, a much broader technology market. So the deals tend to reflect you know, more sectoral exposure, which makes them in some ways more interesting. Now, on the other hand, it's far more competitive in the U.S., so just because you have a product or service there doesn't mean there aren't 15 other competitors. So the due diligence, the amount of work in getting something forward is much harder. But, it's a market that's 10 times the size of Canada and offers some opportunity as a result of that. I think both shows are fantastic. They both have achieved great success. They support entrepreneurs. They celebrate entrepreneurialism. They focus on the individual's ability to create wealth. These are all good things as far as I'm concerned on both sides of the border, and I'm proud to be part of it. I mean, there's something very, very rewarding in having a 9-year-old girl come up to you, and this happens to me a lot. And this recently in San Francisco, a Canadian girl came up to me with her mother and said, I want to be an entrepreneur, and I asked her why. She said, I want to be free. And I think, you know, that's something that I think came from the show, and I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it sounds almost like you're on the campaign trail there.
Definitely.
So let me ask you, Kevin, what about when it comes to marketing and personalities? You know, I've heard it quite often that in the U.S., the marketing approaches that people use and the way that they deal in business is a little bit more aggressive, if we could use that word. Have you seen that? Is that your opinion as well?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there is just cutting through the noise is becoming harder and harder and harder. I mean, you think about all of the information that bombards people every day through every kind of vehicle possible, social media, wireless, television, print, all the ways they're connected to the world, it's very hard to get a message through. And I think having a brand changes all that. So I make the assumption, and so far we've been right. It's not just Kevin O'Leary. There's a whole team of people behind me. We make the assumption we get 1% to 3% of the market when we show up because of our brand. And then to go beyond that, we have to execute very, very well. So when we look at entering something like the mortgage market, we figure out, all right, what are we going to have to invest to get our message through? What advantages do we have because we have a brand? What disadvantages are there? But generally speaking, the brand helps you get some share, initial foothold that you can build a business off. It worked in the mutual fund business. It's worked in the wine business. We think we'll be very successful in the mortgage business. And we have several other ideas all built around the Kevin O'Leary brand. So the key for me is to make sure that I keep my message consistent, I remain honest, which I find is my basic personality anyways, and I stay on television delivering my message, and radio, and print, and the internet. It's a fair amount of work, but what I enjoy doing is creating businesses, hiring people, and building them up. This is what my reason to be here is, and that's why I do it.
Right. Okay. You just mentioned hiring, so let's switch it up there for a minute. I want to ask you about hiring and talent. When you're looking to hire and bring someone new onto your team, what are the top characteristics that you're looking for?
Well, I have a guy named Alex Kenji who runs O'Leary Ventures. He's the president of the firm, and he and I have a very simple philosophy. We start by hiring interns. We want smart, aggressive people that are in what we call self-contained. In other words, they don't need a tremendous amount of tutorial work with us. They don't need a lot of supervision. They know what they have to get done. They're given a task, they go do it. Because, you know, when you're doing startups like this, and even when you have an established business, O'Leary Funds now has over 50 people in it, you want very, very, aggressive individuals that are in the pursuit of wealth. I mean, I want these people to get rich. I want to give them equity. I want them to work like I did when I was 23 years old, which was 25 hours a day. You know, if you don't show up on Saturday, don't even bother coming in on Sunday. So my attitude is if you're not that kind of person, you're not working with Kevin O'Leary. And so that's why our businesses are successful. We have a lot of very aggressive, smart young people that have an equity upside, and they want to work hard. And if you're into that mold, because, you know, when you're young, you can take risk in terms of what you're doing, and I think that's the kind of person we're attracting. And so far, it's worked. So, working here is not for everybody, trust me.
All right. Let me ask you about the Canadian economy right now. You follow the economy, the markets very closely. What do you see are the biggest areas for employment for Canada in the future, and what skills do you see will be highest in demand?
Well, I think what's going to happen, we're going to be challenged in North America. Our largest trading partner is the U.S., obviously, and they are going through a pretty serious deleveraging process, and their growth is slowing, and I think that will be systemic for a long, long time, because capital is moving away from slow-growth GDP environments like the U.S. to high-growth ones like Brazil, India, China, and Asia. Luckily, in Canada, we have a different set of problems. We have the resources and, in many cases, the technology that these emerging and emerged markets want. So I'll give you an example. The Prime Minister's in India right now. That is a fantastic place to go do business because they've got 5 to 6% GDP growth going forward, and they need lots and lots of raw materials and technologies to actually develop their raw materials. So, for example, gas fracking technology. This is a great area for us to do business with China, with both China and India. And I think getting these trade agreements in place will make it much easier for us over the next decade to reduce our dependency on a slow-growth American market and move forward with a global perspective in how we trade. So for any Canadian that's coming out of school or wants to be an entrepreneur, looking for goods and services and businesses that service foreign markets outside of the U.S. is a very good place to be, other than getting on a plane and flying to Brazil, where the weather is better, I have to admit. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you want to stay in Canada, you're going to be doing it with a business that's servicing other global environments that have faster GDP growth, and you'll do just fine.
Right. Okay. All right, Kevin, as a final question, you know, you seem to have an amazing drive and motivation to get a lot done, obviously from writing a book to investments, wine, TV, and so on. So what kept you motivated when you were just getting started in your career? And then also the second part of that, I want to ask you, what motivates you today? I mean, to get out of bed and to perform a world class?
Well, when I was starting out, what motivated me more than anything else was fear of failure. I didn't want to fail, and I was also broke. So fear of bankruptcy, fear of failure, you know, those things are extremely motivating, and they certainly worked for me. I tried retirement many years ago. I was retired for 3 years. It's very boring. And so what I'm trying to do is say, you know, I look at my day every day, and I say, tomorrow, if today was my last day on Earth, would I do, and tomorrow was, I knew at 6 o'clock I'd be gone, is there anything in tomorrow's schedule that I don't want to do? And if there is, I just cancel it. I try now and, you know, live my life to the fullest. I want to do things I enjoy. I enjoy business. I enjoy certain hobbies like guitar playing and photography, wine drinking, wine collecting. I do all of those things. And so, you know, what I'm showing as an example, I think, to others is, listen, the reason you want to pursue wealth is not for having a whole bunch of money in the bank. That's irrelevant. You want it for freedom, to do whatever you like. I enjoy my wealth because I can do whatever I like anytime I want to. If I don't want to do something, I don't do it. And this is a very good motivational force for anybody that wants to pursue freedom. It's not, wealth doesn't mean anything. Freedom means a lot. And as you age and you know, pass your 50th year, you realize the most valuable commodity you have is your time, and you certainly don't want to spend it on something you don't want to do. And if you don't have wealth, you'll end up working into your 50s. I don't want to work. I don't consider what I do working. I enjoy every second of it.
Kevin, great points, great advice. Thank you so much for sharing with all of our readers and with the FreshGigs.ca community. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.